Hello, YouTube. Somebody say hello back on YouTube. Just click it.
Joe Swam says hello.
Yay. I like Joe.
Hi, Joe Swam.
Joe Swam.
I'd like a photograph of Joe Swam in a pool. And then, well, the caption would be, Joe Swam swims. Or Joe Swam in a pool is funnier, actually.
Swim Joe Swam.
I want see Joe, see Joe Swam swim.
How many times does he
have to
hear
to make
these
a book.
That's
jokes.
The caption.
This is really great.
Joe, if you want to yell at them,
swam,
you just
swim.
Swim, swim, swim.
Could just be
the
Joe.
Microphone can't
Joe.
Pick up my head shaking
Joe
and my
says,
eye rolling right now.
That would displace way too much water.
I think we're starting this show. Everybody ready?
No.
Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by the Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from the hit podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to the YouTube page called Ardent Atheist Podcast, which we also use for Skeptically Yours, and chat us up.
You may also give away your chat if you like.
Wait, what? No, they can't.
It's a free web. They can do whatever they want.
No way. What if they give their chat to someone who isn't skeptical and they start posting crap about UFOs or JFK or vaccines?
It's a free web. Post what you want.
It's not a free web.
Oh, really? Prove it.
The last half hour of our show costs $10 per year.
Stupid proof. We only have one rule on our show.
Guests may plug anything they want, including the chai hole of Emery Emery.
Hey.
It's a free web.
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in Studio City, California. In the Studio City today, we have John Rayle, Ross Watcher, and Paula Lauterbach. You know these folks from the World of Reason. And Wendy's in the shot, too.
Hey, Wendy.
Wendy.
Creeper.
Oh, this is going to be a great show. I got an email just a couple of days ago from, by the way, Michael Orenstein. My apologies to Michael Orenstein. I bumped him to next week so that we could do this show now.
I am so flattered by that.
I wanted to do this show. The minute I saw that video that you put out of you giving away your vote, I knew this show had to be done soon. That's how I felt about it.
It's a timely topic.
Let's talk about this. You give away your vote. You've done it 2 years in a row?
Yeah, two elections in a row, yes.
Two elections in a row is what I meant. I'm sorry. So giving away one's vote is apparently legal.
Well, let's do a little legalese
here.
Let's
do it, baby.
Technically, you cannot give away your vote. Even if somebody beat me down at the poll, stole my ballot, filled it out, turned it in, that is still my quote-unquote vote going out there. So it is always going to be my vote, no matter what happens to it from the time I get it to the time it goes into the machine or the box or whatever. What I do is I get somebody in the booth with me.
What happens in the booth stays in the booth.
Yes. And I hand them my ballot, and they do whatever the hell they want, and that's what I want to do with it. So, I mean, the way you and I understand words and language, yeah, I give my vote away. But for legalese sake, I let a friend into the booth in order to do whatever we want.
Can you?
I wonder how many friends you can let in there with you.
Let's direct this to Ross Blotcher, Mr.
Hey,
Inspector himself.
Ross Blotcher knows the rules of engagement at the ballot.
John's not the only one here who knows how to work a poll.
Waka waka. It's funny because it's titillating.
I won't hit you for that because that was funny.
Thank you. This was my fourth time working in an election and my third time as an inspector, which means that I get to pick up all the polling equipment set
should
up.
Should wear one of those little monocle glasses?
I really should. Da-da-da-da-da.
I want a be a pool inspector. All right, go ahead.
You can be.
After they're done dancing.
So, I pick up all this equipment, you know, and it's a lot of stuff. So I put it in my son's room, and we call it the pile of democracy. And he deals with it quite well. After that, then I have to know, you know, the rules involved. So that's why John decided to let me chime in on this.
Yes.
And the mantra there is one person, one vote. So everybody gets one vote. And yes, you can legally have someone come and vote with you. They're supposed to sign a little sheet.
Now, there's a reason for that, I'm presuming. It's because what if you don't have any arms?
Yeah, some people need assistance for whatever reason.
Right.
There could be a number of reasons, and that's fine. And
sorry. Well, that was funny.
Well, I don't know that thalidomide babies are funny, but There's probably other reasons. I mean, like, what if you can't see it and you need someone to help you?
We do have audio ballot booths, but there are lots of legitimate reasons why you would need somebody to just help walk you through the process, and that's fine.
And I know you're getting to a point, and I'm going to let you get there. Did Helen Keller vote, and how?
That I do not know, except she was a communist. I'll tell you that.
Oh, really?
Very, very proudly.
Like atheist.
What year was her lifespan in? Because women only got the vote in 1920.
Yeah, she was alive, I think. Yeah. We're going to look it up while you continue. Go ahead, Ross.
It was around then, yeah. They cannot be the person who comes to join you in the poll. They cannot be your boss. They cannot be a member of a union or representative of a union because they want to make sure that there's no coercion going on.
She died in 1968.
And they asked you that. I saw in your video.
They were quite clear about that.
They were on top of it. I also wanted to clarify. I saw that you had the pink slip. You voted provisionally?
Yes.
Because it was out of your precinct, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Okay.
Whoa, what's all that mean?
Okay, so...
well, I can tell you what that...
Voter fraud is very easy.
I can tell you what that means for me. For me, that means I called way too late. I had let this project slip my mind for way too many weeks, and somebody was like, hey, the election's next week. I'm like, oh crap, I gotta do this whole thing and give away my vote and blah blah blah. And so I rushed, I made a few calls, and they're like, just show up here and do a, what is it called,
provisional vote. So provisional vote.
So my mom probably could have voted in Florida. She hadn't registered to vote. We got online, I gave her the thing to print out. She was supposed to print it out. She didn't get it done in time. She never voted.
Okay, well, here's the deal.
I don't know how the black guy...
What provisional voting is about is, yeah, you fill it out and put it in a pink sleeve, and they put it in a pink envelope, and you fill out all your information, and that goes back, and it always gets counted, except it goes through this vetting process where the officials are making sure that you didn't vote elsewhere, and so
you're saying you take your poll and put it in a pink sleeve.
Shut
yes.
up.
Go on.
Yes.
Thank you, Paula.
Make of it what you will. Indeed. And so, you know, if you go and vote at your precinct, that's fine. They go through the regular process. But then if you go then to vote at another precinct, you're not in their book. They want to make sure that you only voted once. And so they will check all those records later, and they'll say, okay, John Rail here. Okay, did he vote in his actual precinct? Well, no. Did he try to vote anywhere else? They want to make sure one person, one vote.
So they do that.
Yeah, but they're also going to make sure that you were registered in time. If you weren't registered in time, then your vote won't be counted.
Okay, so I'm going to take us down another path just for a moment, and we're going to come right back to John Rail's awesome story. You hear so much about voter fraud. Is it really happening?
It's a very small problem.
How small?
I don't know, something in the order of like less than a couple dozen cases.
And what are they doing?
That are verified.
How are they doing it?
A couple dozen a year? Or, I mean, per election, or a couple dozen ever?
I think that's a good question. It's not something I've looked into heavily.
Some of the people that are claiming that there's voter fraud are confusing registration fraud versus voting fraud. Because someone can register as Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is not going to be able to vote, so it's not going to affect.
There's other forms of registration fraud where you have like people standing outside a supermarket saying, hey, sign up, you know, you want to vote. And then everybody who votes, you know, Democratic, all their, you know, signups get thrown away or something like that.
Okay.
That is, again, registration fraud, not voter fraud. Voting fraud is when somebody gets more than one vote,
right,
essentially. And so sometimes they'll do it by, like, voting, like doing a mail-in ballot for somebody who died. Mm. That could be one way to do it, stuff like that.
I see. Okay, so back to the story.
Yeah.
I want to make sure everybody understands, first of all, why do you want to give away your vote?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Straight up, I want to give away my vote because at first it was just this fun idea because let me try and sum this all up.
Start from the beginning.
Penn Jillette made this video explaining how this kid got busted for trying to sell his vote on eBay. And he was up on like $5,000 charges, 5 years in prison, yada, yada, yada. Penn Jillette, giant libertarian, is like, if it's your vote, you should be able to do whatever the hell you damn well please with it. Whether you sell it, give it away. And in the end, he said...
See, that's the problem with the libertarian point of view. I mean, you know, I'm close friends with Penn, and I think he has a lot to bring to every discussion. But when it comes to that freedom, absolute freedom thing, I'm just lost on that.
Even
sometimes.
With that,
and this is
topic?
A good example.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fairness, he
okay,
did.
I'll talk about that. Go
in
ahead.
Fairness, later on, he did go on to say that he thought he was wrong about a lot of what he said in that video. But the main thing that caught my attention was he's like, I guess this is another George Carlin thing where you can give it away, but you can't sell it. I was like, can you give it away? So we set out
So that set you to thinking.
Yeah, so we set out to see if we could give it away, and sure enough, you can get somebody in the booth with you and hand your ballot over and give your vote away.
And you didn't know that when you first tried it. You thought you were just going to walk up and talk to them and say, hey, I want to give my vote to this guy. And but it turned out to be
a friend of yours, right?
The first time, yeah. And but like they've both been friends of mine, but they're very strange people. Like I was very fortunate
friends
to find them.
Friends of yours are strange?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was very fortunate to find these guys because they are so out there. I have no clue what they voted for. Mm. I mean, it could have been libertarian, could have been liberal. I have no clue what they voted for because they're just strange, hip cats. Anyways, so we figured out a way to give my vote away. And originally, yeah, I didn't think it was going to work. I thought he was just going to tell me what he wanted me to vote for instead. And no, it turns out we were able to sign him in and get him in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why was he able to take him in, Ross?
Because
there's a video, by the way, online where they can see this whole thing kind of documented.
Yes.
Where do they find that?
Just Google my name. John Rael gives his vote away.
R-A-E-L gives his vote away.
I did that, and Penn comes up.
Yeah, Penn comes up, but his video will link to my video. You can find it. Google, people. I trust your listeners.
What we're saying is you can't really get to John Rael unless you go through Penn Jillette. That's all I'm saying. That's how connected this cat is. Anyway,
he made a second video.
He
made a second video saying how cool it was that you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
And so how did he get this guy to vote? And is it legal? Is he breaking rules, laws? Is he stretching the rules? What's going on?
He's stretching probably the concept behind those rules, but they're legitimate rules. They're there for a reason, and they do ask, as they did, to make sure that he's not being coerced to vote a certain way. Mm-hmm. And the reason he was able to film it is because the voting process is completely open. Anyone can be a poll watcher. They can come in.
I'm a poll watcher.
That's
right. I knew that was going on in your head.
So, anyone can sit and watch the process, make comments on it, note what's going on, videotape it, film it, whatever. That's great. Mm-hmm. It's all about openness. And so, yeah, he wasn't breaking any rules. And you know what? I think he was doing something that everybody does a lot of people do in every election, which is give their vote away because they have made some decision that, X person is a friend of mine or, I trust them. Maybe they're like a commentator or they're an editorial board on a newspaper or, maybe it's a leaflet from an official party. But they say, you know what? I haven't really looked into this that much, but I'm going to go with so-and-so. And so they just kind of tick off there because there's all these voter guides everywhere. They just say, okay, I'm going to do this. Yep. That's what he said to do. Okay, I'm going to do that as well.
What about people who don't have a horse in the race or don't like either side?
Don't have any skin in this game.
Well, there's always an option.
Don't have a penis in this vagina.
And that is me.
Don't have a fist in this ass.
There's always an option to...
This is skeptically yours, not Arden Atheist.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll edit that out.
There's always an option to not vote.
Yeah.
Which many people exercise. And in fact, there are countries where voting is compulsory. You have to. And
there are countries where that's
like
Australia,
Brazil,
Australia.
Yeah,
you have to vote.
Yeah,
wow.
So one of your freedoms is to just say, "Well, I don't want to. I don't feel I have any opinion on any of these." Another thing you can do is just vote on the things that you do feel like you have some kind of reaction.
Here's a weird
to.
Meta thing. Yeah. What if they put on the ballot in Australia where you have to vote? It's compulsory. What if they put on the ballot?
None of the above?
No. What if they put on the ballot an initiative to abolish mandatory voting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so meta, it's freaking me out a little bit.
You could do it, I'm sure.
That's so funny.
Penn said something on his video about Starbucks or one of the coffee shops.
Oh, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts. There was there was a few companies that like gave you little prizes if you came in with a voting sticker, which in a weird, twisted kind of way is like buying votes. I mean, if the vast majority of Starbucks lovers are liberal or Democrat or whatever, and you offer them free coffee and they decide, well, I wasn't going to vote, but damn, I want to get a free cup of coffee.
It's PR showing that they're, promoting democracy and patriotism.
Yeah, and PR is good business.
They're not asking you to show what you voted for.
Yeah.
No, but if you have a certain type of customer who really likes your coffee, that could change the outcome. That could potentially, skew things up. And I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I don't even know where I fall on that. I don't even know where I fall on being able to sell a vote. Like if Apple wanted to buy my vote.
I tend to fall in the libertarian place. And that is, I think that Starbucks should be free to advertise however they choose to advertise as long as there's truth in their advertising. That's all that matters. As long as they're not lying about something in their advertising.
Yeah.
So I don't have any problem with that. In fact, there was a recent story. I don't have this up in front of me, so I'm going to try to muddle through this a little bit. But it's significant to what we're talking about. There is a woman who runs a diner, and she gives a 10% discount if you bring in any of the flyers or pamphlets from the local church.
Pamphlet they hand out at the beginning of church service.
You read this story?
Yes.
Okay. So if you come in with the pamphlet from that church, you get a 10% discount. Mm. Somebody in that town who's like me, an atheist, sued and actually got a judge to tell her that she has to extend that 10% discount to anybody who brings in any religious flyer.
Did they sue or just complain?
No, there was a lawsuit, and the judge came down on the side of the atheist, and I gotta be honest with you, that pissed me off.
That fucking made
me really mad.
That's a private business.
Yeah, it's a private business, and you know what? Stop and think about that. I mean, I don't understand how anybody thinks that it makes any sense to use our legal system to tell, for example, the bar that they can't have a ladies' night, for example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's exactly the same thing. Women get in free, men pay $10. You know what I'm saying?
If they didn't do that, there'd be less women there. So that's why they
No, there's... listen, as a guy, I'm pro that for obvious reasons. But number one, number two, why does... You know, that's... I used to think of myself as a liberal. Now I think of myself as an American. Mm-hmm. And I don't give a shit about one perspective or the other. I think when you find yourself in a camp, you find yourself in trouble. That's why we end up with camps. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fan of any of them completely. In fact, I think that's another way to give your vote away. You know what I mean? If you are taking your ballot and you're going, yep, Democrat, 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 Democrat. What's the Democratic point of view on Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. That's giving your vote away based on just a blanket ideal.
And a lot of people do that.
It's really stupid. It's really bad.
Yeah, which is what bothers me.
That's why I don't like the libertarian view. It's far too fucking, this is our, we're driving down this highway. Get on it or get off it. You know what I mean?
And philosophically, that's what bothers me about how bothered so many are. I say so many. There was like three or four people who were actually legitimately pissed about this. And what bothers me so much about why they were bothered is philosophically, like Ross was saying, what I'm doing is almost identical to what most people do. Somebody sees a 30-second ad on TV and decides, well, that looked pretty good. I'm going to go with that. Or, oh, my mom said I should vote this way. Or, oh, you know, we're all influenced by certain things. Sometimes it's educated. Sometimes it's ignorant. Sometimes it's just on a whim.
Well, the people that reacted mainly on Facebook were people that don't vote that way. They do research it and they go look at different sites, partisan and nonpartisan alike, to get an idea.
Paula didn't appreciate it, right?
I wasn't one of the crazy people that defriended him.
Don't worry about that. We get that. Obviously, you're here now.
And I would like to say, I don't want to call them crazy. Chris Perley, Christy Burris are still awesome people in my book. But they just have chosen to have a specific point of view and have chosen that we can no longer be friends because of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to accept that they're awesome people till I see them in a Speedo. More on that after this. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net and available on the iTunes Store.
Good news, everyone.
We have a premium service. We do the show for 90 minutes. And you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. In other words, it's nothing. Yeah, it's nothing. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. It isn't free, I guess.
It's not free.
Technically it's not. It's cheap, though.
It's still not free.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free.
No, it's not.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is cheap. We're talking with John Rayl, Ross Blotcher, and Paula Lauterbach. Lauterbach or back?
Lauterbach.
We're Bach with Lauterbach. and again, everybody, thank you for being here, by
Yay.
The way. Paula, I no one thinks you're a bitch for disagreeing, okay?
They think me I'm a bitch for other reasons.
No, there's a lot of reasons, but this is one of them. No, nobody thinks you're a bitch for disagreeing. In fact, I must tell you, when I saw the video, I really enjoyed it because you were ping-ponging me. I'm watching this video really trying to decide what makes sense because I parse things logically and with evidence, with data, with the information, not emotionally, generally. And I found myself fighting emotion as I watched you give away that vote. And I found myself wondering, is this wrong? Is this right?
And you know what the greatest problem is? And I think a lot of people who engaged in dialogue with me about this realized, including myself and them, is that voting is not analogous to anything. Like, I compared it to freedom of speech a little. I compared it to gay marriage a little. I compared it to this a little. It's not like anything. There are no... There's no other freedom and right, just like voting.
Right, there's no litmus test on which
it's not like the right to pursue happiness. It's
But people that voted for Prop 8 voted to get ban gay marriage, so you could have had some part in reversing that if you and other people voted against Prop 8.
Did you think about this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are consequences to any vote that's put forward, yeah.
Right.
And what's that? What's frankly,
legalize gay.
Yeah, the
repeal
Prop 8.
Prop 8 now is what we see on Ross Blotcher's T-shirt.
Yeah, I mean,
fine. My favorite T-shirt, by the way, marriage is for fags. is one of the funniest T-shirts I've ever seen.
Nice.
But if I want to point out, my reaction was not so much you doing it, but some of the statements you were saying on Facebook that you were comparing voting to narcissism, like you shouldn't be able to have this kind of control over people. That's a narcissistic way of thinking. And that I reacted to.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to have. I'm saying I don't want that. Like, to me, voting is it is a slightly narcissistic gesture. It's saying that my point of view, the way I want the world to be for everybody, should be that way.
So people, you want to live an authoritarian?
Yet don't we feel don't that the world should reflect the way that people want it to be?
No. And here's the thing. I think voting is a great thing, and I think the system is, you know, I mean,
it's messed up, I admit that.
For all its problems, that is not the issue I have with it. I love voting. I love the fact that we live in a country with voting, but I myself, personally, me, John Rayl, I do not feel comfortable making those kind of decisions. I mean, if we're all voting on ice cream, I'll vote on ice cream. But if we're voting on, you know, should...
We were voting on chocolate, and you gave your fucking vote away.
Damn it.
Was Proposition 32. Didn't you see it?
One thing you said in the process of this was that you don't feel comfortable, you know, telling other people what they should do.
Yeah.
And I think... I don't think that equates at all with voting, because I think oftentimes you can vote with the philosophy that you don't think people should be told what to do. So, for example, on Prop 8, you would say, well, you know, if someone wants to get married, they should get married. So you would vote accordingly and say, you know what, I want to stop these people who say we should tell them what to do.
So, Ross, you don't think he should give his vote away?
You know, he cannot. He has the right to. That's
okay.
Fine.
It's the selling the vote that is even worse, because the natural progression of selling your vote is people with a lot of money are going to be able to control votes.
I would like to see as many people of conscience, and I think John Rayl is one of them, really look into the issues and decide based on that what he would like. And I think we would agree on a lot of these important things. And so I would want to see that vote count.
Interesting. You're very, very, very pro him looking into these issues.
Well,
and casting a vote, you just kind of showed your hand a little, because you think he would go your direction on it.
No, not necessarily.
But you just said that.
Well, I think he's a person of conscience. Oh, that's true. I think we would agree on many important things.
And I honestly...
And so let me ask you this,
but
Ross. You're sitting across from my mom and her sister, and clearly both of them... this isn't true. I'm using an
okay,
right?
I was looking around.
And clearly both of them are anti-gay. They're afraid of gays.
Sure.
And they're both afraid of blacks. You going to be as aggressive about getting them out to the voting booth?
Actually, yes.
Talk about that.
I don't know. Defend that. Yeah.
Because what you just said suggested that's not really where your head would go.
No, that's true. I can see that.
We always want everybody to vote as long as they're on our side.
Yeah, but, you know, I really just don't feel that feeling like, you know, somehow I'd like to stop other people who disagree with me from voting. I want voices to be heard.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, you know, I want rationality to win. I want morality to win. I want good conscience to win. And I think it will without us trying to, you know, gerrymander the system.
Feeling that if people research it on their own, they're going to get better information that they're getting from stupid commercials and mailers.
Well, that's why we do what we do, both with Ardent Atheist and with Skeptically Yours. We're trying to invite people to learn about the critical thinking process and employ it.
Well, what I was going to say is the one thing that I really do like about your project, John, is that it gets people to ask these questions. It causes us to really look at it and say, what is a vote? What does it actually do? I think that's great.
Yeah, and I'm not voting out of ignorance. I've looked into many of these issues, up, down, sideways, you know, across the board, and that's actually a lot of the problem is I can't decide. I really don't know. I mean, when I was 15 years old, sure, I was a hardcore, staunch liberal or whatever, but then, you know, after a lot of research, hearing the other side, hearing the other side, hearing the other side.
You started to realize what a problem the blacks and the Mexicans was?
Yeah.
Is that what happened when you got older?
I have no fucking clue anymore. I really don't. I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. You know, none of these suit me. And even if there was a party that was like the John Rail party, John, we are going to do exactly what you want us to do. I don't want any part of that. I don't want to control the way people are. I'm... You know, to me, it's like tantamount to being a sociopath. Like, if we could control the world exactly the way we want to, you know, let's do it. And
but again,
I don't have enough faith
in your own ideas, John Rail. That's a problem.
Well, like I said earlier, though, there are many measures that seek to tell people what to do and to impose restrictions on them. And so those are things we should vote against.
Yeah, and I agree with that. However, at the same time, if a vote is the voice of the people, the fact that Prop 8 went through, to me, in a weird, and this might sound a little cynical, to me, that's a good thing. Because to me, that woke people up. That said, hey, you know all your neighbors that you thought were totally cool and hip and, you know, had an open mind about this sort of thing? They don't. They fucking don't. Because you didn't do your job educating them, because you weren't out there, because we weren't talking to each other and communicating enough.
They didn't have enough money to combat what the Mormon Church was doing.
Maybe.
They planned that ahead of time.
Members of the Mormon Church. They are quick to say,
but they kind of put the pressure on their members. We need to, you need to donate to this.
Sure.
Yeah. What about these CEOs that are writing letters to their employees saying if you vote a certain way, your jobs are not going to be secure? I can't believe now the young liberal in me is like, we got to stop that dickhead. Mm-hmm. That ain't right. You know what I mean?
I like it to expose it better. That makes it...
Do what?
I like that it's exposed more than...
That's the trick, isn't
it? Yeah.
We don't want to legislate against freedom of speech and ideas.
And
Especially, once again, it's his business. He wants to preserve it, and he thinks these laws will preserve it. So,
well, I think they're lying. I really do. I don't think this is a case of someone spewing some rhetoric that they actually believe in. I think he knows that his bottom line will be affected, but he's not going to throw the fucking entire system away. He's making a lot of money off this thing. He's going to do what he's been doing his whole life. He's going to fucking rig everything up so that he pays people less and they only work 35 hours a week, so he doesn't have to give them insurance and all that shit that's been going on forever anyway. Mm-hmm. He's going to keep doing that. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to scare folks that work under him into voting in a way that makes it easier for him to continue making a lot more money with less work. That's, I think, all that's really going on. I don't think any of these CEOs think that they're going to have to fucking lay people off. I think they're lying to the people, and I think they fucking know it. And so that fucking bothers me, and I do like talking publicly about it. No, I'm not saying we should make it illegal for them to do that. I want to make sure I'm clear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes them a jerk, and they have every right to say that, but they can't say it within 100 feet of a polling location. That's called electioneering, and that's the important thing, is that when you cast your vote, you're doing it according to your conscience and secretly. No one has a way of tracing it back to you and knowing what you voted. So you can go back and tell your, you know, dipshit boss, you know, like, oh yeah, I voted the way you wanted me to, and maybe you voted completely the opposite. He'll never know.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's pretty great. He has no way of knowing how you voted. You can just lie to him like he's lying to you.
There you go.
Are you listening to me, folks? That's what you do. You tell the boss, yes, sir. Heil. What is that noise? You guys hear that?
No.
No.
What'd you hear?
It was all me. So anyway, you can lie to your boss. Make sure that you do lie to your boss and vote however the fuck you want. I really never even thought of that. I thought of people being, you know, fucked around.
And so, that's why they would ask when that guy's going to be in the booth with them. They want to know, is this your boss or is this a member of the union? Because they don't want that kind of bullying to happen. And the reason those laws are in place is because people have tried it before.
But to answer some of your ideas here, Ross, I'm really not afraid of bad laws passing, because I think bad laws passing are just further education for us.
Okay, but in the meantime, there's people who can't get married.
Yeah, I mean, in the meantime, bad shit happens, and we wake up. and we move on. And things are, here's the deal though. I don't think life is getting better all the time. Like, yeah, we know this statistically, we know this scientifically.
I agree.
Getting better all the time. So I'm really not concerned about the dumb or stupid or evil person next to me voting. And I said that in my video, and I know maybe that comes off really naive.
No, actually, that's a good point, and that underscores the reason why I want everybody to vote the way that they really feel the world should be, because I think that everything is getting better. I agree with that. But, you know, wake-up calls, what's the point of a wake-up call? It's to get us to eventually move towards a society where enough people feel that way. We want that bottom-up solution. That's always the best. When people, you know, do a thing because they believe in it. At some point, you do have to say, no, look, you do have to, you know, integrate your schools. You do have to let black people in, whether you feel like it or not. You know, you do have to put your foot down at certain times. So I agree with you. Though, let's say that enough people had come out and voted against Prop 8. Well, then, you know, that would have just been the dream being realized a little sooner, and more people in real life situations could get married.
Yeah, and that would be a good thing, and I agree with you on that. That one point, that one law, that one instance, everything else, fuck if I know.
Okay.
Honestly and truly, fuck if I know. Like, you know, there was a couple of things during this election that I, you know, if I had to vote, gun to my head, I would have definitely felt A-okay about. But even then, I'm like, I really don't know.
Remember, not only can you choose not to vote at all, but you can choose to vote on just the particular races that are important to you.
Yeah, or the particular measures. Propositions, yeah, or whatever.
No, you can stop racing. Stop betting based on race. God damn it. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net and available on the iTunes Store. Have you heard of our other hit podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now. It's hilarious. Check it out if you don't believe me. www.ardentatheist.com. Go there now or later. Whatever. I don't really care. Just go and stop bugging me. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Where thinking is cheap. We're talking with John Rail, Ross Blotcher, and Paula Lauterbach.
Okay, can I jump in here?
Go ahead.
This most previous election, even more recent. All right. Measure B. Shall an ordinance be adopted requiring producers of adult films to obtain a county public health permit to require adult film performers to use condoms while engaged in sex acts, to provide proof of bloodborne pathogen training course, to post permit and notices to performers, and making violations of the ordinance subject to civil fines and criminal charges? How do you vote? Yes or no?
This man, Ross, thinks he knows me, thinks he knows my heart, goes right for the porno.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to vote on that one, I'd say no. Hell no. That's a stupid, stupid fucking rule.
It seems
rule.
Like that's driving that business.
Why do you
that
say
I'm
had
valid.
To vote? You could have voted on this. And then
I could have.
Fucking passed.
But I didn't.
They're
it did.
Making them wear condoms in porn.
And we're.
How are you going to reach an orgasm in under 3 minutes with a fucking condom on the guy?
Yeah, we've got places to be.
Yeah. Honestly.
Got to come before we go.
You come before you go. My problem with this, while I joke about how long it takes to come watching porn with or without condoms, is really about the fact that that legislation is doing nothing to make us healthier.
It's bullshit.
Doing nothing to protect anybody from anything.
Completely absolutely bullshit.
In fact, there's an argument to be made that the people in porns are put at a higher risk. Because when you're in porn, and I will just say this, I know a little about this. When you're in porn, you're working your cock a lot more than when you're just in the bedroom with your girlfriend or your wife or your boyfriend, for that matter. You're working a lot more. And when you're wrapping it up in that rubber thing, you're putting a lot more stress on things. Mm. And guess what happens when you put more stress on your cock? You get
it
worn.
Breaks.
It gets torn open. It gets dangerous to have sex.
I believe Matt was talking about that on one of the shows.
I don't care what Matt was saying. But I say, if Matt said that, he was right. Because that's what I'm saying. There's an argument to be made for the idea that they're making them more unhealthy. They're putting them at greater risk. The argument, by the way, that they really underscored this entire thing with, and I think Ross, you can confirm if I'm right about this, it seemed to me they were saying this helps the public health. It encourages people who are using porn to use condoms. It's kind of like if you have cigarettes in movies, people are going to see it as romantic. They're going to romanticize cigarettes, and they're going to smoke. When you remove them, they stop doing that, and they stop smoking as much, which
doesn't matter
add up,
that they've raised the prices to over $5. People are still smoking.
It's a fallacious argument. Thank you.
Had you not underscored with the extra oomph on fallacious, I'm not sure I would have gotten it. I appreciate you going that distance.
Well, welcome.
I think this also comes to a point where I don't think that voting, if you want to make the world a better place, it's not about getting people to vote for the right thing. It's about educating people. You know, period. It's not about you need to vote A, B, or C. It's about it's about teaching people how to think, not what to think.
You made the same thing 4 years ago when this issue happened before, and I sent you all kinds of links to educate yourself about the different propositions and whatnot.
You just
and I don't think you looked at
me
them
even more.
Well, did you look at what she sent you?
Yeah, no, I did.
But again, you know, why do we raise consciousness? Because eventually we want to get to a particular goal where society recognizes these things. And in the meantime, these, you know, bogus measures are getting passed.
And at that point, hopefully those other people who we educated will do, you know, the good, smart voting for us, for me. Because
okay.
I just don't want to be a manipulator.
Why not vote smartly now?
No, the manipulators have money. You don't have a lot of money at the moment. You're not a manipulator.
Okay.
You're a sheeple.
You sound disenfranchised. I mean, you do. It sounds like you don't believe that this works. It sounds like you don't think that voting is effective. Am I hearing you right, or do you think
I think that it is. Well, in a way, I think it's not nearly as effective as education.
Okay.
I mean, if you know, in an ideal world, if we were all ideally educated, there wouldn't really need to be as many laws as there are. You see what I mean?
I don't think you understand humanity that well.
Why do you say
the
that?
The evil
Paul?
Nature of man.
Well, this whole time we've been talking about the voting process and why there are particular laws in place to make sure your boss doesn't coerce you, et cetera, because we learn from the past and we try to make ways to fix those problems in the future. So there's a reason there are those rules there, and it's because shit has happened in the past and they're trying to correct for it. So that's the whole process. And yeah, we need some of those rules. And ideally, yes, everybody would act out of conscience and do the right thing. But that's not the world we live in.
No, it's not.
You think people need to be more educated. Why wouldn't you have educated yourself and voted?
Bingo.
I mean, when you say that, that's what I hear.
Wendy has something to add?
You can answer
like
that in a minute.
I would like to add something to that. Some of the propositions and even the positions of the candidates and particularly the judges and people that it's really hard to find out which way you want to vote according to your own taste and conscience and what you want to have happen in the society you live in. It's hard to get that information. There are organizations, the League of Women Voters, Courage Campaign, and others, that break apart those propositions in words of one syllable, so that it makes it easier to educate yourself.
You know,
and you have to feel like you can trust those organizations to have done
the
research.
That's the problem. Everybody helping you figure out what a particular proposition or what a particular politician's stance is, everyone is coming from one or the other perspective.
Well, right.
You
then
know what
you
I mean?
Get,
the
you,
only
you,
people you can really trust if you want to get some information about what these propositions are people who don't have anything. They can't be American. I got to talk to a fucking Russian if I really want to understand what another American politician is trying to say. Or I got to talk to an Australian. Or I got to talk to... I mean, really, we're all in this bubble, and everybody communicating these things to one another, they have their bias. If you ask me about Prop... What was it called? About
Measure
condoms?
B.
Measure B?
Yeah.
If you ask me about Measure B, I'm telling you, I am going to do everything I can to convince you to be against that, Wendy. Because my perspective on it is, it's fucking awful.
Well, here's what they offer you. I mean, what comes with the election materials, and I know that we all get a ton of mail trying to slant, our opinion, trying to push us in one direction or another.
Yeah.
At election time.
I love when someone sends me from the Green Party a bunch of pamphlets about why I should vote for them. Fucking email me, you idiot.
Well, but it comes in the paper is unbelievable. It must do wonders for the for the Postal Service.
Pisses my wife off.
But
and me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Some people save it so that they can see graphically how much junk you get. They're trying to influence you.
Do you know what one of the negative side effects of going really, really green is, by the way? If we stop printing books and go just e-books, if we stop printing these pamphlets and just go electronic delivery of this information, all of a sudden we are crippling the industry that plants the trees in order to make these products.
Yeah, trees are a renewable resource. People don't want to admit that, but they are.
I know. We end up with less trees all of a sudden.
But they grow
them
in
funny.
A different way than in nature, with a mixture of trees and bushes and other.
And they reproduce at a certain rate. You know.
Wait a minute.
Rate.
We're going to get to that in a minute. Well, Wendy, go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to say though is that in the election, among the election booklets that are sent to voters, there is one of them that says, if you vote this way on this proposition, this is what will happen. If you vote the other way, this is what's going to happen. And it's unbiased.
I have trouble believing.
And they'll print the argument of both sides and you can.
Those are the official ones with the official representatives of both sides. And they do have to have a certain standard of neutrality where they present what the actual language
is. Boy, I have a lot of trouble believing that they're not swaying. They're not leaning certain ways with their language.
I'm with you, though. Like, this is a difficult process. Actually voting and being informed is really tough. Because, like, I'll listen to, like, Larry Mantle's show on KPCC. Like, great coverage. They'll have somebody on the pro side and they'll have someone on the against side. Mm-hmm. And, like, you'll listen to the pro side and you'll be like, oh, man, I'm totally going to vote for that. Of course. And then the person with the no side comes in and says, what they didn't say was blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh, I'd never vote for that. And then the other person comes on, well, what they weren't saying was blah, blah. And it's like, oh, I'm going to vote for it. And, like, you keep going back and forth. Like, oh, crap. You know, like, how can you even tell who's bullshitting?
Yeah, and
that's
the rare,
what leads to a genre.
With the rare, rare exception. That's every single thing
that
is on the ballot.
So, you know, like, I'll end up kind of listening to their tactics of argumentation. This is something that we've kind of become specialists in within the skeptic realm. And I'll say, okay, look at the fallacies that this person is constantly relying upon. That will weight my vote in a certain direction. But what I'll do, this is kind of my voting process, is I'll go through the ballot and I'll say, okay, here's what I have a gut reaction to. You know, this is my, you know, feeling just from the text that I'm reading. But then I'll go, and I will look at, like, guides, like, from the LA Times editorial board, and I'll look for examples where they agree with me, and I'll say, okay, well, I guess I don't have to think about this one too hard. But if they disagree with me, then I want to know why I'm disagreeing with them.
Right.
They may point things out.
Right.
So that's the process.
Yeah.
There's one thing. It didn't happen this year.
You don't have to put your hand up. Just jump in.
I try to be nice and ladylike.
Oh,
yeah,
she's
rude.
So
yes, Ms. Lauterbach.
It didn't happen this year, but I think it was in 2010. You know, there's a lot of judicial nominees, a lot of them, and the government is not putting any effort to educate us about the justices that are running for office. And I could be easily convinced that that should not be something that should be voted on by the major public. But what I have to do to educate myself, and this is not good, but I have to do this, I have to go to right-wing websites where they rate all the judges,
yep.
And I vote for the ones that they give the worst rating to.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to do that, but it's really hard to find information about judges.
It's not a bad approach to... I think the best thing that we can do to figure out where we are on something is go to both extreme examples of it, mm-hmm. and weigh them against one another. The claims that each of the extremes, the ones in the middle are less helpful in my opinion. If you're making an extreme claim against or about someone, whether it be from the left perspective or the right perspective, that tells me a lot more, I think, when
and,
I want
to. And this speaks to, like, you know, the broader conversation of acting out of incomplete knowledge, you know, which we all have to do to some extent in life. And so, yeah, there does come this role of authorities and people that you trust. And that's why I said that what John was doing is in many ways very similar to what people do, which is say, you know what, I trust this person's opinion. I trust they know this situation well. I'm going to go with what they're saying, except that you did it in kind of a more random fashion. You know, you're just do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah. Well, and you guys know me, like on Facebook, Twitter, I shoot from the hip. I will, you know, Ralph Emerson, I'll speak in loud words today, no matter what they say, and contradict them tomorrow. But if I speak in loud words on a ballot, that affects people's lives. Mm-hmm. That meddles. I don't want to meddle. I mean, if I give the wrong opinion on Facebook, tomorrow I could just correct it, or I could say something different, or we could just forget about it. But if we make the wrong decisions on voting,
it's important to vote, because you may miss the opportunity to make other people's lives better.
But wait a minute. The only worse? Wait. I'm going to call you out on this, John Rail.
Throw down.
Okay. You just went off the John Rails.
Throw down.
Here's why.
Nice.
If that were true, my friend, then you would never even risk letting someone else cast a vote on your behalf.
Exactly.
Ever. If you really believe that, and I appreciate what you're saying and doing, but if you really believe that, the only logical answer in my mind is not to vote.
See, to me, not voting seems on par with giving some random person your vote.
Why would you say that?
Because when you don't vote, that means any other votes mean more.
Giving someone else your vote is no solution, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I like what you did for the record. I want to be really clear on this.
I don't claim it's a solution. It's just, why do I do this? I don't have any pretentious reasons for actually doing it. I just have pretentious reasons for why I choose not to vote. My actual reasons for doing this, it's fucking fun.
Okay,
it's goofy.
Why I wasn't sure what you were trying to achieve with this.
I have a lot of reasons for not voting myself. But my reasons for throwing my vote at some random person, just for kicks.
Okay. All right. Here's what I like about what you did. Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
Talking
I like about
it.
That's what I love about it. I like that you took the bright light of discourse and shined it right on top of this. And here we all are. Paula's sitting here going, what the fuck were you thinking? Ross is giving us information. We got Wendy over here sitting here in a wheelchair like she can't walk anymore. I mean,
she says she can walk. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
So, skepticism works.
I love what you did. I just want to make sure that we really explore what you were thinking and really the effects of this sort of thing. At the end of the day, I feel like our votes are bullshit. I feel like this doesn't really make a difference in the grand scheme of things. I really don't believe in the democratic process in a big way. I really don't.
It's very corrupted right now, for sure.
Yeah. I vote. I actually do it. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't believe in. I don't believe in procreation, but I fuck like we can't imagine. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net and available on the iTunes Store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to the listeners. October Thorne, Wendy Hughes, Kyle Delaney, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. Hey, where did everybody go? These were the screen names of the people chatting in the Skeptic Tank last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
And now, back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking has its reasonable costs. Now!
Yeah, you're getting it.
I am getting it. We're talking with John Rail, Ross Blotcher, Paula Lauterbach, and we're being stalked by Wendy. Wendy Hughes.
And I did want to also say that, frankly, I apologize for a lot of things that I said online in the middle of the night before this experiment took place, because I was getting a little pretentious and I was trying to come up with all these reasons for why I was doing what I was doing. And
She said, I'm doing it for the lulz.
Yeah.
You just left it at that.
Yeah, I did not. I didn't expect to get, the crackdown, the smackdown, the harsh judgmental treatment.
People hated you.
Friends.
You had skeptics using the word sacred.
I had skeptics. I had skeptics standing on the dead bodies of people justifying how I was insulting.
So you
had
people saying people fought in wars for your right to vote. How dare you walk on their graves and give it away?
Yeah, which, by the way,
fuck you for saying that. Fuck everybody who ever says someone died for fuck you. That's fucking religious thinking. You're full of shit. Jesus didn't die for me, and my uncle in the fucking war didn't die for me. He died because he wanted to fucking put his life on the line, and then he went and fought a fucking war. Fuck you. I hate that shit.
Yeah, and that really disgusted me, and it is a disgusting argument. I don't call it disgusting just because I feel disgusted by it. It is intrinsically disgusting. You may feel insulted by what I did, but that's your feeling. What I did was not an insult. But what that argument, suffering and dying of other people.
If someone went to a war to fight for freedoms, then the opposite is true. The opposite argument is to be made. And that is, John Rail has the free... You should have the freedom, in my opinion, probably, to sell your fucking votes, actually. I mean, freedoms are freedoms. If that's not... I don't know about
that. If you can't sell it, it's not yours?
We'll have a big spiral downward then...
of throw down. I know Paula is way against selling votes. I am on the fence.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I don't know. I mean, I'm really pro freedom.
I'm really
pro-freedom.
You know, the citizens, Citizens United, if that is horrible law to me, and I can't wait for that to get overturned.
What is Citizens United?
John.
What? Throw down. Come on.
Explain it.
Please.
Basically...
A lot of listeners don't know what you're talking about.
Basically, it allows corporations and moneyed individuals to give a lot more money towards campaigns without having to disclose this.
Oh.
Where there used to be a limit. So basically, people with more money have more options to control our democracy.
Well, Penn once said to me, he said, why shouldn't corporations be treated just like us? Why shouldn't they have the freedoms?
They're not people. I don't care what Mitt Romney says. Corporations are not people.
Got a Romney smackdown.
No, I know. He said to me, we were all sitting at the Slammer, which is his house, and we were all sitting there, and there was a lot of folks sitting around the living room, and he said, I don't understand why... Penn's position is very right wing in a lot of ways, and this is one of those examples. And I'm sitting there just going, all right, make your argument, Emery, because I have an argument here, and make it well, because it's Penn Jillette sitting across from you, and that guy doesn't fuck around. He knows his shit. And I don't know my shit very well. I'm a little where you are. But sometimes I just, and Penn does it too, sometimes I just step up to the plate and go, all right, smack me back if I'm missing something here. But I said, Penn, the reason that corporations should not be treated as people when it comes to free speech is because you are completely letting the guy who has fucking radio stations and TV stations and massive amounts of money to... put that money behind his speech. All of a sudden, that speech is more available. It's out there more. It's overwhelming. And it's through that process that corporations can control where we end up.
Amen.
It silences the me's in the world. It silences everybody in their house. Because now we don't have the same voice. A corporation is not a person. A corporation is a fucking megaphone with a bright light of fear and control. So no, I don't agree with that position. I don't think that corporations should have the same freedom of speech. I think that corporations on certain occasions need to be restricted. You can't just say that the marketplace will take care of itself. Yes, it's in the best interest of Exxon not to spill oil all over the fucking Gulf of Mexico. Absolutely, it's in their best interest not to. But when they do, they have to be held responsible. And to prevent them from putting all of us at risk, there have to be restrictions on how they do business to minimize whether or not they do that, because they do an awful thing, okay? One of the awful things they do is they numbers crunch. What is the value of risking the possibility of killing all these animals and not spending that much in safety, in an extra couple layers on the hull, all the various things? When you've got a government entity coming in and going, no, you don't get to run that level of risk, that's a good thing. So yeah, I've been meaning, by the way, to make this rant for a while. Thanks for giving me the chance to do it. Fuck, that makes no sense to me.
What puts a lie to the thing about corporate responsibility that they'll do the right thing in the long run is seeing how oil corporations act in this country and how they act in different countries in Africa, where they are not restricted by the government. Yeah. And it's really harming the environment and the people nearby.
Yeah, and I get in arguments with Dean Cameron, who's also a libertarian, and he's like, I told him, I said, look at Mexico. Mexico is a government out of control, and our corporations get to cross that fucking river down over at El Paso and just billow shit into the air and into the water. And he said that I swear his argument, Dean said to me, he goes, Emery, Mexico is an example of too much regulation. and now I'm sitting across from someone like John, and I'm like, I don't even know how to respond to that. Is he right? Is he saying something I'm unaware of?
And I'm really confused on this point. Go ahead.
Well, again, in our perfect world, these corporations would do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's because consumers would only buy from them. But, it doesn't work that way.
Well, maybe it would work that way if we did not save these corporations from their own failure.
Okay, well, that's another issue, but okay, that would have an
influence. I think sometimes when our entire economy is resting on the shoulders of a particular corporation or group of corporations, I do see why that makes some sense. It's a really complex thing. I'm sorry.
But you get this tragedy of the commons where at some point you need to put your foot down and say, look, we still need fish in the ocean, you know, and we don't want a bunch of oil there.
Fish,
you know,
without all mercury in them. That's great,
and
too.
Three eyes.
That'd be nice. You know, so
mercury's tasty.
There's
makes
things
feel
we can agree
faster.
On. And so we have all these inequalities here because they've got a ton of money and a ton of influence to bear, and the one equalizing force here is that everybody only gets one vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, the head of the corporation, he gets one fucking vote. You get one vote. You know, you can cancel him. That's where you get to be equalized on the same footing. And that's why, you know, it's important not to sell the vote because they've got plenty of money. They can buy your vote.
Well, another thing that rolls into this discussion is the churches. I don't want to spend too much time on this. We're going to move to the next topic right after this. But the churches, they're speaking out now real loudly about whether or not they can tell their parishioners how to vote. Or advise them. They're tax free.
Right. They're trying to make it out like it's a First Amendment issue.
Yeah, they're turning it into a First Amendment
issue.
Which
is ridiculous.
That's like giving away free coffee.
It is, right?
Well, you can say whatever you want from the pulpit. That's great, but you may lose your tax exempt status.
Yeah.
Good.
That's it. That's the bottom line.
I'm not with everybody on the... I'm against
let
taxes
anyway. Let
that church
fail.
I'm not...
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, let... There you go. They're not too big to fail.
The invisible hand, Paula. She loves it.
The invisible hand?
I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm sure it's something disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
Something free market.
Adam Smith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm really torn on this one. I don't think that we should be, we as skeptics and we as atheists, I don't think that we should really be, I don't feel comfortable saying tax the churches. And here's why. Fuck the taxes. No, I don't think we need to be taxing people more. The churches have this tax exempt status, just like nonprofits do, and things like that. And
what about the ones that make a lot of profit? I'd be okay with taxing them.
I'm nonprofit. I am nonprofit. I don't have any money in the fucking bank. So why am I taxed at all on a personal level? I'm spending a lot of money on taxes. I'm paying taxes out the ass when I go out and I buy the things that I have to buy and the things that I want to buy. I'm paying taxes all the time. So I am I'm anti personal property tax. I'm anti, what's it called at the end of the year? Is it personal property? No, that's income tax.
Oh, yeah.
I'm anti income tax. No, stop taxing all of us at the end of the year and tax us when we purchase things. That way you know we've got the fucking money. I don't have the money at the end of the year.
But that would be unfair. The problem with that is that might be unfair to people that are already poor and people that are rich, because rich and poor people, you're only going to buy the same amount of toilet paper and gas for a vehicle or something like that, but it's going to impact a poor person a lot more than a rich person.
Well, and you can have the same sort of exemptions that you do now for income. I mean, that would be a workable model. You just have to rejigger how everything's done.
I think it's the smartest model, it's not rejigger.
In the end,
it's re-African America.
Is there any country where they do that right now and it works for everybody?
I was
that
just
joke
about to ask
doesn't
that
work
question.
Anywhere.
in the end, system. Bottom line, the government needs certain amounts of money to operate, to do the things that we want it to do. We can argue over how much we want it to do or not do, but that money has to come from its people and its businesses. And so all these taxes are just clever ways of assigning who gets to pay.
Right.
So you could rejigger that or what was it?
Re-African America that.
There you go.
I also want to talk today about TEDx, setting the standard for skepticism. I don't know if anybody read this article, but there was an open letter to the TEDx community from the TED Talks people. TEDx is this group of folks that around the world that put on TED style talks, and they're kind of sort of licensed by TED to do these things. And what has been happening is some of these folks have actually been putting on shows or talks from people who are not doing good science.
Pseudoscience.
And I'm trying to remember his name. Who wrote the other article?
Did you mention Phil Plait already?
Phil Plait, thank you. Plait. Phil Plait wrote a really wonderful and very revealing article about this issue, and I want to talk about that. But we can't talk about it right now because, well, that's it for the free version of episode 17, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium. And subscribe. I want to thank our guests John Rayl, Ross Blotcher, and Paula Lauterbach. And setting in out of the blue, which is always wonderful, our neighbor Wendy Hughes, who chimed in. I also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson.
That's
me. Tune in next week when our guests will be
reasonably priced.
And we'll be talking about...
I'm not giving that away for free.
Of course you are not.
Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph Feeling Better Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Feeling Bitter Winters.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.